It's time for Apple Farm Chatter, your podcast for all things Apple Farm Service, the latest ag news, dealership events, and upcoming trends. Put on your work clothes. Apple Farm Chatter begins now.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Apple Farm Chatter. Myself, Kent Holmes with Travis Wolf. Hi, Travis. How are you today?
Doing well, Kent. How are you doing?
Good. And today we're talking all about planning and a little bit of legal with Ted Gudorf from Gudorf Law. Ted, thank you so much for joining us today.
Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, so we actually first met. We had a farm forum event, and one of the topics that we found out a lot of farmers wanted to learn more about was when it came to the law side of ag, especially estate planning. And so you came out, you had your talk, and everyone really enjoyed it. We thought, well, we'd love to have you come back, and here you are. We really appreciate it.
Good. Well, you're talking about a topic I love to do. I love to help, particularly in the agricultural community. Farmers, in the worst way, need to do better planning. And so that's what I'm all about.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I think you'll have fun. We have some fun quizzes and games for you to test you. And Travis and I have been fun planning for this one.
Yep. The problem is you'll probably have experienced everything we came up for today.
Yeah, you probably will.
You think?
Yeah, you will. Yeah. So I guess we're talking about estate planning, but I know you do a lot more than that. I guess what all does Gudorf Law do?
Well, I would tell you this. When I decided to set up my practice to do estate planning, it was in 1998. I had done a little bit of general practice work, and I met two great lawyers, one of whom wrote a book called The Loving Trust. He's nationally known, Bob Esperdy and Randall Peterson. And so I basically used them as my mentor to figure out how to set up my practice. And they said, what you really want to do is you need to make sure that you can combine estate planning with tax planning and financial planning. And the way we recommend you do that is you go and create three companies. So we created, over time, Gudorf Law Group as our flagship company, but we also have Gudorf Tax Group and Gudorf Financial Group. The law group itself is very limited in what we offer. We do estate planning, wills, trusts, powers of attorney. We do estate administration when people pass away, and we have to administer their estates, hopefully without going to probate. And then number three, what we do is we do the elder law component. We added that later. That is, when somebody needs to go into a nursing home, we help them figure out how we can make sure that they maximize their government benefits, whether it be Medicare, whether it be Medicaid, or if they're a wartime veteran, how they can get benefits from the Department of Veterans Affairs. So that's all we do. A subspecialty of that is farm estate planning. Farm estate planning is a little more complex than just your average everyday planning. So we go pretty deep on that.
Okay. And I guess why you mentioned that it's in depth. Why, if you farm, if you're an ag, most of us listening here to Apple Farm Chatter is because we farm or we're an ag. Pretty simple question, I guess. Why do we need to have this good plan in place?
Sure. There's a whole lot of reasons, not the least of which is when we do estate planning, we're talking about everything that you own. And more importantly, we're talking about protecting it for everyone that you love. You know, I always tell my clients, estate planning is for somebody who really loves their family, because you don't want to leave a mess behind. And if you love your family, now not everybody does, right? I mean, I do have folks who come in and say, you know,
they're trying it.
They're trying, yeah.
But having said that, we want to accomplish a few basic things. We don't want to leave a mess behind. What's a mess?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you die and you end up in probate court with a judge trying to decide how to do everything for the next 3 years, and the lawyer's going to get paid 5 to 8% of your net worth. So you got a $1 million farm estate plan, and the lawyer's going to get between $50,000 and $85,000 right off the top. and then is going to work you through a process that's going to take 2 or 3 years to get done, doesn't make a lot of sense. So you want to avoid probate first and foremost. Secondarily, though, you want to make sure you save taxes. And there is a way to do planning where you can save the next generation tens of thousands of dollars of taxes if you set up your plan correctly. But I tell you what, you do it wrong. And you're really, if you do it wrong, it has potential serious consequences. So tax planning is a big piece of this. But I will tell you this, in the farm segment, what we got to be worried about is if we become incapacitated. You know, everybody thinks estate planning is about dying.
Well, yeah, that's what everyone probably thinks. Yeah.
But let me tell you what happens to a large percentage, 70%. May end up in incapacity. And I'm telling you what, if you end up incapacitated and don't have a plan, that's where you're going to get taken advantage of. That's where you're going to lose the bulk of your wealth, either to the government, the IRS, or to a nursing home, taxes, nefarious individuals. You got to be careful to make sure you have an incapacity plan. And most people don't. So we're going to make sure we avoid probate in the event of death. We want to make sure if we become incapacitated, we got a plan. We want to make sure we save taxes. And then last but not least, where it gets a little complicated, we got to make sure we have a succession plan, you know, a transfer plan. That's the hardest part of this. Who in the family is going to get what, and how are we going to be fair, if not equal? And what I'm really good at is I'm a counseling-oriented attorney. Most aren't. But I want to know what this family wants to accomplish. What are your goals? What are your fears? What are your concerns? Who do you want to get what? How? What should they pay? Do they get a discount? Do they not get a discount? And if they don't get a discount, if we have a farming child, what are the others going to get? And so often within the ag community, unfortunately, we've let the tax tail wag the dog. And it's always been about taxes, not necessarily about planning for what's in our family's best interest.
Okay. Well, in comparison, we have an example of probably the worst way.
One of the worst ways.
One of the worst ways that somebody might be able to handle all of this. I hope you do enjoy.
Hello. And welcome to the dividing of a state for Mr. Charles Oswald III.
Good to be here. We'll begin opening at the Ford F-150 pickup.
Opening?
And I got a favorite son, favorite daughter, favorite wife, favorite dog. Who's gonna claim it? Come on, need an opening bid. Let's go here. Favorite son, favorite daughter, favorite wife. Someone's gotta be the one.
Wait, are we bidding?
Your father stated, I would like my family to compete in auction style for my affection and honor.
That's so wrong of him.
Yep, favorite daughter.
Hey!
Sold, given to the favorite daughter.
Oh, come on.
And next up, the house fully IRA'd with 5 acres.
There's gotta be a better way.
Let's take the son that's always doubted his decisions. How about the wife who's always nagging him about picking up his socks? Come on now, daughter who looked up to him. Need a bid here now.
I never doubted his.
Hey, hey.
Sold to the daughter that looked up to him.
Hey, who wrote these?
It was your father. Signed 2 years ago.
I think we can take a break, right?
Here's the big one. The farm in its entirety. All 1,500 acres with the barns and the equipment.
The whole thing?
The whole thing. Let's open it up with...
Here!
Oh, I'm sorry. He wrote that anyone who bid early is disqualified.
What?
Opening bid is the most confident one. Let's go, son who went to college for the booze and the girls. How about the wife who actually does the books? Looking for the daughter that went to an Ivy League school. Come on now, let's get a bid.
When it comes to estate planning on your farm, don't make the wrong decision like this. Choose Gudorf Law Group, LLC for smart planning, for worry-free living. Protect your family's future and your own with Gudorf Law.
So I have to ask, is that the worst? Have you heard anything worse than that?
No.
From your okay.
No.
Okay.
No. But you know what's sad about it is I think I've seen that.
Oh.
You know, in 38 years of doing this, I think I've seen everything, and I've seen some of that, at least pieces of that.
We're wondering, because when it started, you kind of made a face like, oh, I've heard of that.
You know, mom and dad said, yeah, I want everything sold and all liquidated and converted into money. And then let's make sure that all of our creditors get paid. And then the kids can have whatever's left over, right? I mean, that's at the end of it. That's the worst of the worst of the worst. So
Right. Now, I know you were mentioning you specialize in farm planning, in estate planning.
Yep.
And you say that it's different. So I guess it in a nutshell, how is it so different than, you know, someone who doesn't farm but maybe has different assets and this and that, other properties, this and that, compared to somebody who also farms? Kind of what makes it so different?
Yeah, I had somebody in the other day and they said, you know, I have a century farm. He says, this is the most important thing in my life. And it has been for multiple generations, and I want to make sure that I don't screw that up. There's a legacy within farm planning that doesn't exist in many other areas that really matters. The other thing, though, that makes it challenging, on top of wanting to keep at least the home farm in many cases, all the farms within the family, let's just say that most of my farm clients don't have a lot of liquidity. You know, I mean, we're here at Apple Farm Service, and when I came in, I saw some nice pieces of equipment, and they cost a little bit of money. And so sometimes when we're farming, we have bad years. And so, and we have high cash flow demands. And so, what kind of liquidity do we have? Not much.
That's just what it is, right? If you farm, you're land rich but cash poor.
And that is something that we need to change a little bit, and we need to think about a little bit, because how are we going to benefit when we have more than one child? How are we going to benefit the others? Well, the typical way we do that is with money. One way or the other, we got to have money. And the last thing we ever want to do is to have to sell the farm, either to pay for a nursing home bill or to equalize an estate with all the kids. So how are we going to do that? So cash flow makes this kind of planning difficult because we're still trying to be fair. I tell you this, farm moms care about all the kids. You know, some of us guys, you know, we understand what it's like to have a son working for us, usually a son. And we understand we want to give him the farm because he started when he was 5 and now he's 50 and he kind of deserves it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But mom is sitting in the background here. And I tell you what, mom reminds dad that we got more than one child here and we got to be fair to everybody because we love everybody. And we got to figure that out. And if we have limited cash flow, how are we going to do that? That's challenging. Also, over time, sometimes we've ignored some things. What do we ignore in the ag community? Well, what I see is not a whole lot of retirement planning, okay? I don't see folks who have an IRA or a 401k set up where they're tucking money aside so that when they hit 65, 70, there's some money there where they can transition the farm to the next generation. So the squeeze comes in, you know, when we hit 65, do mom and dad still need the money, the income off the farm to live on, yet the 50-year-old child is saying, hey, what about me? I've been with you for 40 years. I need to take over the farm. I need cash flow finally because I'm married. I've got kids. They want to go to college. I want to buy a new house. I want to buy a new car. And that conflict, the conflict that I see happening in farm families is real. And I have situations where kids will no longer talk to to mom and dad over this conflict. And they're paralyzed. I've got to work through that. But trying to get retirement planning, particularly for our young farmers, to understand if you're going to set money aside so you can transition the farm when you get to be 65 or 70 and not have to take all the money and then basically not give the kids much money. The other thing that I see a lot of is we're as I mentioned earlier, we're letting the tax tail wag the dog. And all too often, our farmers will go see their CPA in November or December when they have a little bit of downtime, and they'll be calculating whether they had a good year or a bad year. And if they had a good year, they're going to ask that CPA, now tell me how much in taxes am I going to owe? And they'll give them a number, and they says, well, how much equipment do I have to buy? Well, you know, I got to go over to Apple Farm and buy some equipment in order to zero out the tax. Now, that's great. On the other hand, is that what we need to do? Well, it's an individual situation. So sometimes I see folks just letting the tax tail wag the dog, not setting up a retirement plan. The big one that they don't ever get done is buy long-term care insurance so that when they become disabled, older in life, they have a way to pay for somebody to come into the home and care for them. Or worst case, go into assisted living and have the money to be able to pay for it. So we are prone, as we're growing up, we are prone to do no retirement planning, no life insurance planning, no long-term care planning. What we do fairly well is we zero out the tax, the income tax, so we don't have to pay taxes. And I think a more balanced approach has to be out here for the next generation of farmers. But it's tough, particularly in light of land values having increased. Is that helpful?
Yeah, no, it's helpful. And I think, I mean, to agree with it, of course, if you have extra money or Apple Farm Service, we're not going to complain if you want to come in and get a new piece of equipment. But, right. And like you said, it's individual. You know,
yeah, and
if you've had years where every year you're getting something new, it's different than you haven't had a good year in a couple of years. You had a good year and you're sitting on equipment that you're putting more money into fixing every year, parts and service and whatever else. You can say, well, I have it now. I need to spend it. And I know if I keep this piece of equipment, it's going to eat more than me getting a new one with a new warranty. So like you said, it is case by case.
It is. And there's a balance here. We got to achieve that balance. And the other thing is that there seems to be with some a resistance to utilize debt. And it's just unrealistic to have a multi-million-dollar farm operation and not utilize debt and be smart about it. Farm credit can give you a great deal. I met with one of my favorite farm clients yesterday, and he was telling me about, he says, I do use that farm credit. I do have my line of credit there, but they give me back about 2-3% a year. And he says, I really like getting that back, and it really reduces my overall interest rate. But we got to learn how to cash flow this through lines of credit, through borrowing, but we have to manage that. But it's the balance. And what I see so often is that the piece that's missing is my piece. The estate planning piece, the long-term care piece, the retirement piece. That's the piece that everybody's kind of ignoring. And the next thing you know, you're waking up and you're 70 years old and you haven't done it. And then maybe now you're unhealthy and our options become limited the older we get.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I think we can move on. We actually have another bad example of someone who probably did run into this situation, don't we, Travis?
Oh, yes, we do. Old Man Jenkins.
And so, it is with much sadness, grief, and litigation that we're brought here together. Old Man Jenkins was a good man, a loving father, and a great farmer who had zero planning for his passing. As such, we've come to a consensus about how to interpret and handle his rather odd will.
To Billy, I leave you with one of my most priceless treasures.
this antique tractor seat built in the 50s, and it does come with proper documentation. What about the rest of his equipment? His tractors, planters, and tillage pieces, or just a section with the words, I'll figure it out later. Dad!
To Sasha, you always cared about the animals and their happiness, which is why I bestow upon you my flock of angry geese. I know you can be a goose whisperer. It says goose whisperer 5 times in a row in the same section. Did he copy and paste this on an online form?
Sounds like the old man was off his rocker when he wrote this. Wait, what? It says here to determine the property of the land we must fight to the death? Is this typo?
Nope. And the winner has to then pay for the funeral of the losers and send 6 cows and 4 hens to each of the deceased spouses as a token of apology.
Wait, I get all the knives, but Sasha gets the guns? That's not fair.
At least you didn't get Dad's collection of aged compost.
And that brings us to the final clause. Whoever refuses to participate in the battle for inheritance must instead spend a year living in the barn with the geese.
This is why people need proper estate planning.
Agreed. No one should have to fight over land or be subjected to angry geese.
So let this be a lesson. Write a clear, sensible will, or else your legacy might just be a honking nightmare.
So it kind of brings up another question, because it mentions copy and paste 5 times. How often do you run into somebody who says, I did it on my own?
Yeah, do-it-yourselfers are out. Fortunately, within the egg community, it's minimal.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. Other than the egg, I think the egg community understands how important this is. And I think we have more people who have done some planning rather than trying to do it themselves. They are business folks who are used to dealing with accountants and lawyers, bankers, and that's helpful. Now, the problem we have is that the level of planning within the legal community, within the greater Miami Valley, is pretty minimal. It's not sophisticated. So it's not so much the do-it-yourselfer within the egg community. What it really is that the legal community has let the egg community down by not doing more creative, more sophisticated planning. And that's where we got to go.
Okay. Well, we do have a special surprise for you. You ready?
Speaking of creativity.
Oh, here's the Wheel of Bad Decisions.
Each one of these has something, well, you've probably seen before. So go ahead and give it a little spin.
So go and spin it.
I am spinning the wheel.
All right. Pull the piece of paper off there. And Travis can read it. And we want to know your recommendations for this individual and what they did.
This individual wants to use emojis to visually divide their assets.
What should they do?
I'm going to keep saying this over and over. They need to consult a competent estate planning attorney.
I feel like this could be an answer for a lot of these. Next spin!
Go ahead.
That's what they got to do. Oh, yeah.
All right. Got this one. Use a strong duct tape.
Yep. All right. They've only made a will out in their head, and they decided not to tell anybody about it quite yet.
I'm assuming there's really no answer for that one, is there?
There really isn't. Unfortunately, the state of Ohio, though, here's the good news. Every state has a will for you and I, all made up by our state legislators because they think they know what we want. So,
well, the government always knows what we want, right? Of course.
Why would we ever question
them? Why would we ever question the government?
Yep. There you go.
All right. And number 3. An individual wants to go ahead and kind of take each item that they have and put a post-it note with a name on it.
Well, you know what? If it doesn't have substantial value, that's fine. That happened in my family with a handful of items that were in my parents' house. My dear mother put a little sticker note on each one of her figurines and, you know, statues. But, you know, when we have larger items that are more value, you know what? Those stickers can disappear.
I bet. I swear my name was on that Corvette. I don't know where it went.
Yeah.
Just take my word on it. Honest.
Oh, okay.
So I think maybe doing something a little more permanent and getting it in writing and signed for our more important items is probably a better approach.
Probably so.
I'd say so.
And, you know, ultimately, whether we do that through a will or whether we do that through a trust, or whether we have a corporation or a limited liability company. Now, that's when you start getting a little more sophisticated. Okay. Ready right. to spin?
We'll do one last.
Can I do one last, more?
One more. Yeah. Right. Wheel of Bad Decisions.
The Wheel of Bad Decisions.
Yes.
I like that.
So we got this one as our last one.
I don't know if we can beat the emoji one, though.
We started off strong. Here it goes. Give it a little resistance. All right, this individual thinks that a verbal agreement sealed with a handshake and a yep is good enough.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's not. You know, under Ohio law, it's got to be in writing.
But I said,
yeah.
It's got
to be signed.
I said,
there
yeah.
There you go. You did.
I shook my head and said, yeah. You did. Then we got coffee afterwards at Bob Evans.
It was
yeah.
nice.
It was good.
There you go. We got a deal.
There you go.
Nothing more needed. Yeah, and, you know, at the end of the day, I think, again, within the ag community, I think we're pretty good at understanding how to do deals, how to do agreements. Again, what we got to do, though, is we got to kick it up a notch. Got to be a little more sophisticated.
Okay. Well, before we take off and say goodbyes, we have something special for you. But there is a little participation.
There is a question that needs answered.
We'd like to thank you for being a part of the latest episode of Apple Farm Chatter. Before we let you go, we'd like to give you a prize for being such a good sport. We have a fantastic, awesome, and mind-blowing prize just waiting for you. All you have to do is answer one simple question. So, no sweat. Just take a few deep breaths. And try not to realize that if you blow this question, you'll be left wondering about the incredible gift you'll never see.
Never see.
Never ever.
All ready? Good. Now, the question is today a day that ends in the letter Y?
I'm stumped.
Think carefully.
You got the answer?
You get only one answer.
Yes.
You do.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Well, let's take a quick look at the answer, and you are correct.
Yay!
For your wisdom, we're happy to give you your gift of an estate planner 4,000 pad of sticky notes. That's right. Because why waste hours upon hours of time writing legal binding documents when you could just write it on a sticky note? These ultra-sophisticated self-adhesive legal forms can be stuck anywhere. On a fridge, on a tractor, even straight onto a client's forehead. And we know how many times you've wanted to do that. Plus, we're going to throw in an Apple Farm Service branded cap and tumbler.
Hey, hey.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up one more time for our winner and their brand new pad of sticky notes.
I would have gotten that one wrong.
Yep, I was dumb.
And why?
Never realized
it. Never knew that. No. No. And now we know that you should not put your name, people's names on sticky notes and put on very important things for them to claim it in the will. We learned that one today.
We figured that out, right?
Yeah, yep. So you can't use the sticky notes for that one. Ted, thanks so much for joining us. I know there's just so much to talk about. We're going to talk for a little bit. If they're interested, if they're listening, they're saying, you know, I really don't have a plan or I need to review my plan. How can they get this conversation started?
The best way to do it is go to my podcast called Repair the Roof. You can Google Ted Gudorf for Repair the Roof. I have Farm University. I have four podcasts dedicated to the ag community where folks can go in and listen to it. And usually that gets the juices flowing. It gets everything started. After they do that, I give a no obligation, no cost consultation. All they have to do is call the office at 937-898-5583 and talk to Dawson or Betsy, and they'll be asked to schedule an appointment. It usually takes about a two-hour appointment. So I'm going to give 2 hours. I'm going to really want to talk about what people's goals are, what are they trying to accomplish, and then I'll make a recommendation. They can decide if they want to go forward.
Okay. Well, yeah. Travis, anything else you want to mention before we take off?
Before we take off, I just want to let everybody know where you can find us. You can find us at applefarmservice@facebook.com, or you can check us out our Apple Farm Chatter on RSS, YouTube, iHeartRadio, their podcast, and anywhere else you can find them.
Sounds good. Ted, thank you so much for spending some time with us here with Apple Farm Chatter. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks for having
me. Yeah. And like Travis said, check us out online. We'll have a new episode out next month. And thank you for following us. From all of us here at Apple Farm Chatter, we say happy farming.
See ya.
Thank you for listening to Apple Farm Chatter. If you haven't, subscribe today. Want more from Apple Farm Service? Like us on Facebook, follow us on TikTok, and check out our website, applefarmservice.com. Happy farming from your friends at Apple Farm Service and Apple Farm Chatter.